Mark chapter 16. I was thinking this morning that there'll be a lot of messages preached at this Easter season. Some pre-Easter resurrection messages, some post-resurrection messages, and some will preach on the events for a month or so up to the time of the of Easter. A lot of time, the events that were taking place prior to the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, whatever the message is, as long as Jesus is preached, it'll be good. And I don't think you can preach about Jesus too much, the resurrection, His death, the hell that is to shun, a heaven that's to gain. This Bible is full of truths, great truths, that can encourage us during those discouraging times in our lives. And I'm just thankful that we got the Word of God that we can look into during those times in our lives when we don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. The problems keep piling up. I'm glad Jesus has the answer. And we want to look at this passage this morning in chapter 16. I'm going to read a pretty good bit of Scripture, so I'm not going to read a lot to start with. Just going to read seven verses, I think. I was just going to read one, but I think I will read seven verses this morning, and then we'll read some other Scripture while we go through. The Bible says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Verse 7 said, But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall you see him as he said unto you." Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd have your way in the furtherance of the service. Thank you for the good Sunday school lesson we heard today, the good songs that's been sung. Lord, I pray now that you'll help us for just a little bit. Lord, you know what each and every one stands in need of. Lord, I pray for other churches that are gathered this morning together. Lord, I pray that you just ever just meet the needs of your people that's come together today. Lord, save the lost, encourage the saints. Lord, be with the truth as it's preached today that might prick the hearts of lost people, Lord, that they might be saved. Lord, go with us through the remainder of this service, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for all that you do and accomplish in Jesus' name and Jesus' sake. Amen. There again he said, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. I want to preach for just a little bit, Lord, being my helper, on this Sunday before Easter, on tell Peter. Tell Peter. You see in the text here, at the first part of it, I wanted to read that. These three ladies were going to the tomb here to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they travel, no doubt they're talking among themselves, and they begin to be concerned about the stone that was in the way. No doubt they might have forgotten what Jesus told them, that he wasn't going to be in that tomb very long, that he was going to rise on the third day, and that he was going to come forth from that tomb, or maybe they just had forgot what he said and they were concerned. But the fact is, they were worrying about something that they had no need of worrying about. And so as they walked along here and arriving at the tomb, they see that the stone has already been removed. And they entered the tomb and found the angel there sitting on the place where Jesus had laid there. And the angel told them and encouraged them not to be afraid, but to go and tell the disciples and Peter. And I wonder, why didn't he say, and go tell James? Why didn't he go and say, and go tell John or Nathaniel or Matthew or one of the others? Instead, he said, go tell his disciples and Peter. So he specifically pointed out that Peter He wanted them to tell Peter that he wasn't there, that he had risen just as he had promised that he was going to do. And no doubt there was a reason. I believe I want to give you three things real quick this morning, and then we'll go to the house and we'll come back this evening and we'll have communion this afternoon and the Lord's table, and we'll participate in that tonight. So you come back praying and pray. We want to have some testimonies maybe, and just see what the Lord has for us. We don't do communion very often. It says as often as you do it. There's no specific amount of time. Some people do it every fifth Sunday. Some people do it once a quarter. Some people do it once a year. And how often we do it, we ought to do it in remembrance of the Lord Jesus and what He's done for us, and that He is coming back again one of these days. So I want to look at several things here this morning. Why was it that Peter was the only one that was mentioned by name to be told? Number one, I believe Peter needed to know that he was not forsaken. I believe that Peter needed to know that he wasn't forsaken. And we find that Jesus, during His ministry with the disciples, He had prepared His disciples for what was ahead, what laid ahead, and what was in store for them. And we see He prepared them about the crucifixion there in verses 22 through 25. If you read, want to follow along with me in chapter 14, the Bible said, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And He took the cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And He said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. And so we see that Jesus had prepared them for the crucifixion, what was going to take place. He wasn't going to be at this time, He wasn't going to set up the kingdom, but He came into this world for a specific reason, and He walked with those disciples. He taught them for some 3.5 years that what was going to take place. He prepared them for that. And not only He prepared them for the crucifixion, but I believe He prepared them for the persecution that was going to follow. There in verse 27, again, He said, chapter 14 said, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. So He prepared them about the persecution, what was going to take place after they had taken Him into custody, so to speak, and after they had crucified Him, even later on, the persecution that was going to follow. And we've been studying in the book of Acts about the early church there, and we see the persecution that continued after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was something that He had prepared them. Peter needed to know that he wasn't forsaken here. And then not only about the persecution and the crucifixion, but He prepared them about the resurrection. There in verse 28 of Mark 14 said, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. And so we see here that Jesus, He realized that Peter needed to know that he wasn't forsaken. I mean, Jesus had been crucified. He'd been with them for 3 years or so here. And all of a sudden, He's gone out of their life. But then He prepared them for these things, these events that was going to take place and that they were going to be a part of. And He would rise again, that He was just going to be in that tomb for 3 days, 3 nights there. And it was just barred for a little while. That was all He needed it for. And then we see that Peter, here during this time, he vowed to never be offended there in verse 29 to 32 of chapter 14. He said, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. How many times have we said that within ourselves? We wouldn't be offended. Hey, I wouldn't have got offended because those people that got offended, I wouldn't have got offended over that little issue that took place. But so many times we get offended and we get bruised in our spirit, and a lot of people have gotten offended. They walked away and they never get back. And Jesus knew, hey, that Peter needed to know that he wasn't forsaken during this time. And it goes on and said, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, hey, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. So we see Peter vowed to never be offended, but he got offended. Not only he did, but they all really did, because they all forsook him when they took Jesus away there on that night. Then we see that Peter had broken that vow there in verses 53 to 72 of Mark 14. And I'm going to read, it's pretty lengthy, but we'll read the whole passage if you want to follow along. The Bible said, and they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priest and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none, for many bare false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose a certain and bare false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst, and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy, what think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, prophesy, and the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little while after, they stood by and said, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Hey, we find here that Peter had broken the vow that he had made, that he would never be offended. And we find here that he needed to know again that still that Jesus still loved him, even though he had denied him here, just as Jesus had prophesied. And if we see the progression, how fast it took place. I mean, it had just been a little bit before that. Peter's boasting and saying, I would never be offended at thee. And we find here that he has broken that vow that he said and told Jesus. He needed to know that Jesus still loved him. Hey, he needed to know that Jesus kept his vow there in verse 28. The Bible said, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. So we see that he needed to know these things and to understand these things. Hey, Peter was just a common man like you and I. He was made of flesh. He was weak. And we find here that during this night before the crucifixion, hey, how far a man can go that's walked with the Lord Jesus, that's ate with Him, that's seen Him, and been with Him for 3.5 years. And we find, hey, that Peter that made the boast that he'd never be offended, that he broke his vow. And Jesus knew that Peter needed to know that he was not forsaken. I believe that's why he said, but tell Peter. I wonder this morning what we stand in need of as individuals that have forsaken the Lord many times. If we're not careful, we get to the point and we'll think that we're just got to that place where we we don't have a relationship with Him anymore, that He's pushed us away. But I'm glad this morning that His love is forever. Hey, I'm glad that His love is true. When friends turn aside, hey, when people neglect us and when they fall by the wayside, I'm glad that Jesus still cares. So we see this morning to fail doesn't mean that a person has lifelong failure. We're going to fail. We're going to fall short. Just as sure as Peter fell short here. I'm glad, though, that hey, God's love reaches out to those that have failed. I'm glad that even though we fail many times in our walk with the Lord, in our faithfulness to Him, in the fact that we've got offended sometimes in this journey that we're in, hey, I'm glad that God's love still reaches out to those that have failed. And if you haven't failed, you're going to fail. We're going to fall short. I'm glad that the cross and the resurrection guarantees that love to us. And I'm glad, Jesus knew, that Peter needed to know that he wasn't forsaken. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible said, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I'm glad that God loved us before we ever got saved. Hey, I'm glad that He loved us so much that He was willing to sacrifice His Son on the cross of Calvary. Hey, that you and I could come this morning and we could celebrate the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we see Peter needed to know that he was not forsaken. A lot of times we need to know that we're not forsaken. I mean, we're just frail. We're just humans. And we get to that point and sometimes we'll think that we've been forsaken. Not only that, but number two, we see Peter needed to know he had been forgiven. Peter needed to know that he had been forgiven. Verse 54 tells us that he had followed Jesus afar off. There in chapter 14 said, "And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire." We say, well, we'd walked with Jesus. We wouldn't never do that. We wouldn't warm ourselves by the enemy's fire. But we find a lot of times that following afar off leads to trouble. A person, an individual gets cold and indifferent. They begin to fall afar off. They begin to be flipping in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we might think that we'll never do certain things, but I'm going to tell you, hey, we're weak. And when we begin to fall afar off, it leads into deeper trouble in our life. And I've seen a lot of individuals, they begin to get cold and indifferent. They begin to neglect their Bible reading. They begin to neglect their praying. Hey, they begin to neglect their church attendance. And the next thing you know, you wonder where that individual's at. Falling far off leads to trouble. Hey, trouble starts by distancing yourself from the Lord. When you begin to distance yourself from the Lord and your relationship with Him, and you begin to distance yourself from other believers in the church of God, hey, you look around today and we see on this planet billions of people, and yet we see the churches used to be filled. Hey, we used to hear of revivals, but we see because people have distanced themselves from the church and from the Lord Jesus, hey, we see that churches are in trouble today. Individuals are in trouble. Hey, families are in trouble today because following afar off leads to trouble. Distancing yourself from the Lord causes more trouble. It just gets deeper and deeper. Hey, when you feel down and out, and you feel like you're just not in touch with God anymore, and your relationship is cold and it's suffering, hey, that's the time that we need to dig in and we need to go on. Hey, we need to stand up and we need to trust the Lord to guide us and lead us. More drastic things will always follow, following afar off. One thing leads to another. I've seen people that's gotten real trouble. I've seen people that's just neglected, just the neglecting of coming to the house of God. Hey, I've seen them get in deeper trouble. I've seen them get get in worse shape than they ever thought that they could get in. Church is important. Our relationship with Jesus is important. Hey, people say, I can serve God and I can serve Him just as well at home as I can at the house of God. There's no way that you can, because the Bible tells us not forsaking the assembling themselves together. He said, upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay aside his Lord and prosper him. Hey, we need to lay aside that day that's been set aside to come to the house of God on the first day of the week. The reason we worship on the first day of the week is because Jesus resurrected on the first day of the week. It began, the Bible says over in one place, it began to dawn toward a new day. It had always been that Sabbath worship. Hey, that they would rest on the Sabbath day. But now since Jesus has rose from the grave, hey, we meet on the first day of the week, Sunday. It ain't the Christian Sabbath, it's the first day of the week. It's Sunday, it's the Lord's Day. It's the day, hey, that we take time out from our busy schedule and we yield ourselves and we come to the house of God. So he followed Jesus afar off. And how many times we follow Jesus afar off, and the next thing you know, we're cold and indifferent. We're getting in a situation, hey, where our whole relationship and our fellowship will falter in our walking with Jesus on a regular basis. He followed Jesus afar off. He watched. He wanted to see what was going on. Peter, this is the man that said, Lord, I'll never be offended. Though everybody forsake you, I'll stay with you. And then we see he mingled with the enemies of the Lord. There in verses 66 to 71. It said, and as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. So we see it mingled with the enemies of the Lord here, and we find that he even began to cursing again. Fishermen, you know, fishermen got known for their cursing, I guess, because if they lose a fish and they go to cursing and carrying on. But Peter went as far as to curse. You don't ever know how far you go. Hey, when you begin to mingle with the enemies of God. Hey, God has told us, and I remember this very distinctly when I was in Bible college and Dr. Tabb was teaching. He said one of the most neglected teaching doctrines of the Bible is the doctrine of separation. And Darrell mentioned that this morning. We're seeing a neglect of preaching on standards and the doctrine of separation today. Come out among the world and be ye different, saith the Lord. Hey, this Bible tells us who we're to hang with. Hey, this Bible tells us who we're to run with. Hey, this Bible tells us how we're to conduct ourselves. And when you begin to warm yourself and you begin to mingle with the enemies of the Lord, hey, you're in good shape to get in trouble in your walk with God. Your salvation is sure. Hey, I'm glad this morning that our salvation is sure. Jesus has promised us eternal life. Hey, there's nothing that you can do to lose it, but I'm going to tell you, hey, there's something you can do to get it cold and indifferent and not have that peace that passes all understanding. So we see him mingle with the enemies of the Lord. Then we see he warmed himself by the wrong fire. A lot of people are warming themselves by the wrong fire today. Hey, they're getting their lives in trouble. They're getting in shape. Hey, that they're going to mess up their whole life if they're not careful, because they're warming themselves by the wrong fire. Verse 54 said, and Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. We don't never need to get cozy and comfortable with the world crowd. Hey, when you begin to get comfortable with the world, hey, we're setting ourselves up for problems. Hey, when you get comfortable running with the world and this system that's out here today, hey, you're getting in prime shape to fall. Hey, you're beginning getting in good shape. Hey, to destroy your life and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He warmed himself by the wrong fire. Then we see it led that he had denied the Lord three times. He didn't want to be identified with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, when you get cold and indifferent, you begin to warm yourself by the enemy's fire. You begin to get comfortable with those that are not right with God. Hey, then you get into good shape that you're going to don't want to be identified with Christianity. You don't want to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you don't want to be identified with the church. You want to go in your own way. And you get in trouble. He denied the Lord three times. Can you imagine? He didn't want to be identified with Jesus. Hey, we ought not never get to the point and place where we don't want to be identified with the Lord Jesus. Hey, He's our Savior this morning, and we ought to always want to be identified as being one of His children this morning. Then we see He turned to cursing and swearing to accomplish what He wanted. He began to curse. Some people say, well, I've never done that. You don't know what you'll do when you get away from God. Hey, when you let the devil defeat you and drag you down into that place where you don't know which way to turn and you can't sense the presence of, you've grieved the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. He turned to cursing and swearing. Hey, but thank God here the Lord forgave him and we can be forgiven too. I'm glad that there's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus. If you're saved this morning, it don't matter. You get cold and indifferent. Hey, maybe you've denied the Lord Jesus. Hey, I'm glad that there's forgiveness this morning. Hey, for those that are saved by the grace of God this morning, if we'll come to Him. Hey, I'm glad that He's given us 1 John 1:9. Hey, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, it's just hard for us to confess our sins sometimes, ain't it? We want to throw them all in a big bucket and say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. We had a good man, and I've told you about him a lot of times. He didn't mean anything world by it, but I'm going to tell you, he'd say, Lord, forgive me of my many, many sins. And I've thought about that a lot of times. Well, what are those many, many sins? We need to identify, put our finger on it. Hey, God knows what they are, but He wants us to identify. And if we'll keep them confessed while they're fresh on our mind and while they've been taking place in our life, hey, then we can put our finger on it and we say, Lord, forgive me for lust. Forgive me for that evil thought. Hey, Lord, forgive me for cursing. Forgive me for cursing. Forgive me for losing my temper. Forgive me, Lord, for whatever that sin is. A lot of people get in trouble with God. And they get so deep in. And then when they come, it's hard to remember all those little sins that we've sinned. But I think we ought to be able to identify, hey, as many of them as we can. And then say, Lord, forgive me of those that I've forgotten about. I know my sins are many. The Lord understands. But I think the thing is, He said if we confess our sins and forsake them. The problem is a lot of times we confess them, but we don't forsake them. And that's why we need to know them. We need to identify them. Then not only the saved when they sin can be forgiven, hey, but the lost when they're saved are forgiven. Hey, I'm glad that when God saved us, He forgave us of all of our sins. Hey, this never got a hold of me till a while after I'd been saved. But when God saved me, He forgave me of all my sins. He forgave me of my past sins. He forgave me of my present sins. And He forgave me of my future sins. Now my standing is sure. I'm in Christ and He's in me. Hey, but I'm going to tell you, my relationship, it varies because of my sinfulness and because of the things that I allow in my life. Hey, but I'm glad that when He saved us, that He forgave us of all of our sins. He knew what we were going to do. Romans 10:9-10 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, hey, that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13 of Romans 10 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a promise. And people are going in and on in their life. Hey, they don't know where they've been saved. Hey, they don't know if they've ever really trusted Christ. Hey, the Bible tells us if we've come to that point in place, we take our place as a sinner. Hey, that if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart, hey, that God hath raised Him from the dead. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. That's a promise from God. That's a promise from God's Word. If you ever come to that point in place in your life, you got some words that you can go back to. Hey, where you identified as a sinner and you trust and you ask Jesus to come into your heart. If you've done that, then you're saved. If you haven't done that, then you're not saved. If you don't have that place that you can go back to where the Holy Spirit convicted you. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter what color you are. It don't matter what nationality you are. Hey, I'm glad that Jesus died for all men. And that if all have come, they can be saved. So we see Jesus knew that Peter needed to know that he had been forgiven. Do you know this morning that you've been forgiven? Can you go back to that place where you called on the Lord and trusted Him as your Savior? Hey, do you know that you've been forgiven for your sins that you committed this week? Have you kept them confessed up and forsaken those things? So we see Jesus knew that Peter needed to know that he had been forgiven. And number three, and lastly, we see Peter needed to know that he had a future with Jesus. He needed to know that he had a future with Jesus. Verse 72 of chapter 14 said, in the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Luke goes a little bit further, and he says that he went out and wept bitterly. Hey, it bothered him. When he realized that what he had done, this is the man that was spontaneous. Here's a man that had cut off the guy's ear. That didn't bother him near as bad, I don't think, as what he had just done, denying the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't think of anything worse, hey, than denying the Lord Jesus. And we deny Him so many times when we fail to witness for Him, when we fail to mention His name. Hey, when we fail to lift Him up in our lives, hey, I'm afraid. Hey, we deny the Lord Jesus when we go to this extent in our life that we don't recognize Him as being Lord of our life. So we see he was a broken man. Peter knew what broken things was. Peter had been broken before. When his net broke there in Luke chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible said, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. So we see he knew about broken things. And we find that Peter, he was a broken man here. He knew about when his pride was broken there in Luke chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He knew when his partnership was broken there. In Luke chapter 5, verses 9 to 10, said, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Hey, a partnership was broken here, and service began for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Peter knew about broken things, and we find here that he was a broken man. Hey, because of the denial that he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ as here in his life. Not only he was a broken man, but we see that he had left all to follow Jesus there in Luke chapter 5, verse 11. The Bible says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So we find that he forsook all. His partnership was broken. Those days of fishing were past. And far as everyday thing, he left all to follow Jesus. Said when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. I wonder this morning, have we decided to follow Jesus as the song goes? I have decided to follow Jesus. There have been a time in your life when you made up your mind that you were going to follow Jesus no matter what comes your way. But then we see not only he had left all to follow Jesus, hey, but we see now that Peter felt disqualified. Have you ever got to that place after you made up your mind that you were going to go with Jesus and you were going to follow him and you was going to allow him to control your life, but then something come up and you felt disqualified? Peter needed to know that he still belonged to the Lord during this time. And I believe that's why Jesus said, tell Peter. He knew how Peter was going to feel. Even when Peter denied him and Jesus told him that he was going to deny him, that Peter was going to deny him, Jesus told him that, and Jesus knew what was going to take place. Peter really, in his heart and in his mind, he didn't think he would have ever done those things. He didn't ever think he would have probably cursed, and he didn't think he would have denied the Lord Jesus, but yet we see that Peter now needed to know that he still belonged to the Lord. And there's times in our lives when we get to that place in our lives that we've feel disqualified, and we've forsaken the Lord, and we've walked away, and we've gotten cold and indifferent. We've denied the Lord Jesus many times in our lives, and we get to that place, hey, that we just feel unusable. We feel disqualified. And no doubt, hey, Peter had this in his heart and in his mind. Peter needed to know that he still belonged to the Lord. The Bible says you can get so far out in sins, you'll forget you were once purged from your old sins. And that's a terrible place to be. But I'm thankful this morning to know that even though, hey, we fail, I'm glad that Jesus never fails us. And He keeps us and He loves us because we belong to Him. So what did the resurrection mean to Peter? I believe you can see that answer over in 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 to 8, it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, a year in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him, not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You see, because the Lord didn't give up on Peter, you can see the results in Peter's preaching. You look in the book of Acts and you see that how Peter there stood up on the day of Pentecost. He preached 3,000 souls were saved. On another occasion, we see 5,000 being saved. Hey, we've been looking and look at his ministry and you can tell from that this point on, hey, you don't read of Peter making irrational statements anymore. But you find Peter preaching and seeing folks saved and added to the church on a consistent and a constant basis there in the book of Acts and the remainder of Peter's days. Hey, Peter, Jesus told Peter, but I prayed for you. And after you're converted, after you're turned around, after you get through all this, after you get through all this denying and all these things that you're going to do, he said, strengthen the brethren. And thank God for the epistles of Peter. Thank God for the history. And thank God of the record of Peter's ministry there in the book of Acts and how God used him. That spontaneous individual, irrational at times, and yet God used him mightily and establishing the church in those days there in the book of Acts and seeing people saved. Hey, I'm glad that we fail a lot of times, but I'm glad that Jesus don't throw us away. Hey, I'm glad that we're still usable, even when we feel unusable. I'm glad that Jesus is always there. Thank God for the resurrection and what it's done in our life and the opportunity we have to celebrate a living Savior this morning. I'm glad we don't have to just go through the motions and not have no hope and not have no peace, but because He lives, we can live today. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and thank You again for the opportunity to be in Your house this morning. We thank You for these that's gathered together. Thank You for those that have watched by the way of Facebook. Lord, I pray that we'll realize, Lord, that You're there for us. And Lord, that we're going to fail at times, but God, that You have promised us, Lord, that You'd never throw us away, that You'd never leave us nor forsake us, Father. Lord, I pray that You'd help us, Lord, just to draw closer during this Easter season, to know that we do serve a risen Savior, Lord, and that we can celebrate You seated there at the right hand of the Father this morning, Father. And I pray that Your will be done in our lives. Help us to not to let this world drag us down. Help us to do what we can. Help us to not warm by the fires of the devil this life, Lord, and get discouraged, Father. But help us to just look to You and be strengthened through the Word of God, Father, today, Father. Have Your way. Go with us as we go separate. Meet back with us this evening. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to meditate this afternoon. Lord, search our hearts. Lord, come back, Lord, and make sure that as we partake of the Lord's table this evening, Lord, that we've got our sins straightened out and right, Lord, and confessed. And, Lord, take of that supper and remember in You, Father, for what You've done for us and what You're going to do. Help us now. We'll give You glory and praise for all that You do. Bless this church. Bless Your people. We love You in Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake. Amen.